go ahead.
Proverbs 28. Have no spirit like a city that is broken down without walls.
There you go. All right. Joshua 24. If you have your Bible this morning, Joshua 24, 14 to 16. This is the second message on the home. And the Bible says, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the Bible, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that we would be students of it. As we look into it today, I pray your Holy Spirit would reveal its truth to us. Lord, there's so much I don't know. There are so many things that I am incapable of teaching this body. So, Lord, I pray that you would be our teacher, that the words that we talk about today would make sense, not because Stan Griffin says so, but because they see in your word. And I pray that we would apply its truth to our hearts. Help us to have strong Christian homes in a world that so desperately needs to see the light of the truth. Help us, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Just to give you a recap, if you weren't here last Sunday, we started talking to the dads. Dads, don't worry, we will get to the moms. But we are continuing to talk to the dads this morning. I feel much more comfortable preaching to men than I do to talking about what ladies ought to be doing. I'm afraid to go home after the message. This is a comfort zone that I enjoy. And so we're going to recap a little bit about what we said last Sunday. Last Sunday we said, Dad, your presence is required. A home without a dad is 4 times greater chance of living in poverty, 7 times greater chance of becoming pregnant as a teen, more likely to have behavioral problems, more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol, 2 times greater risk of infant mortality, more likely to go to prison, 2 times more likely to be obese, more likely to commit crime, and 2 times more likely to drop out of high school. So, Dad, your presence is required in the home. We have a tremendous number of absentee dads nowadays, and I think the statistic was 1 in 3 households are not living with their biological father. And obviously that's a blight that I'll talk about a little bit more as we go on. Not only is your physical presence required, your presence, your gifts are required. And I'm not talking about being a dad that just constantly is trying to buy success in his family by giving them gifts. But I'm talking about gifts that don't cost anything as far as dollars and cents go. I'm talking about the gifts of your presence being there and the things that you do in the home. And obviously, number one, you need to love your wife and kids and tell them. One of the things about studying for messages like this is it makes me think about my home, whether I'm doing the things that I'm talking about. And I can remember when Phil was 3, and I asked him before church this morning, I said, Phil, when you were 3, I said, I used to say to you, what do you know? What was your answer? He said, Dad, that was 23 years ago. I don't remember. So that's a fair answer, but the question was, Dad, I used to say, Phil, what do you know? And his answer was, and he knew back in the day, I know that you love me. It occurred to me, I'm not doing that with Cody anymore. So this week we started doing that with Cody, and I looked at him, Cody, what do you know? And Cody is oblivious to everything. And so, you know, I'm not happy to say that he caught right on to that. So 5 minutes later, I ask him, Cody, what do you know? He's clueless. So anyway, he's obviously his father's son. But those are things they need to know that you love them. Dad, do you tell your kids you love them? Well, my kids are older now, Stan. They wouldn't appreciate that. I disagree with that. Go ahead and embarrass them. Let them know that they are loved and that you love them. That is a gift that you give them, is your love. And obviously, your affection. You know, a lot of times the only time we're talking to our kids as they're young is then when we need to correct them or when we need to reach out and touch them, and it's not in a good way. Well, they need to be touched when it's appreciated, when it's loved, and when it's cared for. Those are gifts that you give them. You love your wife and kids, and obviously the kids need to see you loving mom, dad. They need to see that she doesn't just cook the meals and make the bed, that she's someone that is appreciated and adored and even worshipped. I know you can say, oh, I don't know if I agree with that. I've thought about this. I've studied it. I've looked in God's word. She is a gift to you from God Almighty, and she deserves your adoration. And the kids need to see that. Those are some of the gifts that you give. Another gift you give is your leadership in the home by example. Work and pray. Agree together. We talked about these things last week. What we didn't get to, we ran out of time, is another gift you give to your family is loving the Lord. Let them see that when we're coming to church, this is Sunday. We're going to church today. This is good. Now, I tell my kids this. I'm not kidding. I look forward to being in church. Well, they say, Stan, we pay you to be here. It's not the money. I enjoy seeing you folks. We need each other. You encourage me. I hope I encourage you. And in the process of spending time together, being in God's house, singing God's songs, and dad, they can tell whether you want to be here or not. You don't send them to church. You take them to church. You come and you sing the songs. No, Stan, I don't sing. Well, yes, you do. You need to, because the kids are watching whether you are participating in the service. They're watching whether you even bother to bring a Bible, Dad. They're watching to see if through the week you've even opened this book. Or on Sunday morning, if you ask, honey, what did I do with my Bible last Sunday? That's not good. That's not good. Because they recognize the only time they need that Bible is when you go to church on Sunday. And sad to say, a lot of times, one thing I've noticed is our pew Bibles are getting worn. That's wonderful. I'm thrilled with that. But I have to wonder, were our pew Bibles getting worn because we're not bothering to bring our own Bible to church? Now, someone would say, Stan, you're not preaching now, you're meddling. You know? But I wonder sometimes about those things. So here we are this morning, and Dad, the family's watching what you think about church, why you're here, whether you're enjoying it or not. I grew up in church. I was in church all my life. I'm speaking a life that I have lived. I was not in an exciting church. I didn't want to go to church. I call it a dead Baptist church. From what I look back on, there wasn't a lot of us there. There was hardly ever any visitors. The ones that were there didn't want to be there. I'm not proud of this. It's an indictment on who we were, and I don't know what it was or what the deal was, but I don't want to be a part of anything like that. I want to be here because I want to be here. I want there to be some excitement and laughing. And I don't know about you, all these kids up on the platform there, man, I'm loving that stuff, you know? You can't get them to sing, but they weren't supposed to. It was a sign language thing, you know? You teach them sign language, and then you expect them to speak at the same time? No, they can't do that. And so these kids are brilliant, you know? They got it figured out. Or maybe the kids are singing like dad sings in church. Ooh, that's scary, isn't it? A lot of times we don't know the words. Then hum loud. I want the kids to see, you know, I'm down here singing and my wife is correcting me this morning. Just a little public problem we're having here, but, you know, confession's good for the soul. And so, revive us again, fill each heart with thy love. May soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah. Amen. I'm singing amen. She says you have to sing amen because it's again. At the end, that's how it rhymes. That's how it works. It's amen again. And then I said, that's not how it's supposed to be. It's amen again. So I start singing again. Because it's not amen. When I get done praying, I don't say amen. I say amen. This is a Baptist church. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Somebody say amen. Amen. You see, it doesn't work. So from now on, this church is hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. That's how it is. Now you can say, stand there. That's being stupid. No, that's ridiculous stuff that kids need to see in church. Because we're glad to be here. My father, back in the day, you know, we sent one of our relatives. Well, it doesn't matter. I can say, Gabby is off to school at Bob Jones. We bought her some earbuds or something, whatever they are, for her birthday. Her birthday's today, isn't it? Bluetooth thing, you know? And so, or Skyping with her, and I'm not real comfortable doing these things, but whatever. And so she's there, and I don't want to be a jerk, so I'm talking to her on this thing, and she's showing us these things, and she says, so were these, were you, and I've talked about, were you allowed to have those in school? Because I didn't know what the rules are. Conservative college, they may not allow you to do those things, and she said, no, they're okay. And she said where you could have them and where you couldn't have them. And that sounded wonderful to me. And she said, were you allowed to have them when you were in school? And I said, and of course, I did. I was in a very conservative Christian college. Don't get me wrong. I can see why she would ask. But I said, Gab, they didn't have those things when I was in school. She said, really, what they have? And I said, back in my day, you had a boombox on your shoulder. You know? So, back in my day at church, we didn't have the overhead, we had song books. We're all holding hymn books. And my dad would stand there next to me, and he'd hold his finger over the word, and he'd point to, because I wasn't singing, and so he'd point to the page, and then he'd holler in my ear, I can't hear you, and he'd point out to those things. And that's all part of that relationship of dad being in church with family. I remember those things. The gifts that you can give your family, you don't realize, Dad, as you're participating in the home, how important those decisions are. You only get one chance at this, because they'll be gone before you know it. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. If you're using a Pew Bible, it's on page 984. I want you to see this, because it's a very interesting passage to me. The easiest way to find Malachi is to go to Matthew and back up. So, Malachi, the last two verses in your Old Testament is Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Okay? And the Bible says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And here's what this prophet will do. He will turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So class, as you're looking at that, what is the last word in the Old Testament? Curse. I find that very interesting. You'd think the last word in the Old Testament would be hope. You know, Christ is coming. And it didn't really talk about the return of Christ. It talked about the prophet that would be the forerunner of the return of Christ, John the Baptist. And there will come a day when Elijah will come back in the book of Revelation. We won't get into that now. But the reality of it is the purpose of this forerunner of Christ was to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, which there's a lot we could talk about here, but the reality of it is to turn them to one another means they're not. So that needs to take place. And if that doesn't take place, God said, if that doesn't work, I'm going to send a curse. Well, human nature says, I wonder what the curse is. I wonder what that's like. And I don't know about you. The Bible isn't clear exactly what the curse looks like. But let me speculate maybe what the curse looks like if the fathers and the children are not together. Maybe it's guns in schools. Maybe it's children having children. Maybe it's children killing children. Maybe it's an unbelievable suicide rate. And I don't know, the list could go on. Maybe it's some of the stuff we're reading in our papers today as the family is disintegrating and dad no longer feels valuable. And if you watch any amount of TV at all, they're continuing to say that men are not valuable. and that only women have smarts. And if you watch the family sitcoms and stuff, it's the mom that seems to have it all together, and the pathetic male role in the home is just someone that's there, but he's clueless. And that's what we have become. And I have to wonder if that isn't what the curse looks like. But not wanting to be negative this morning, the negative thing for me is that's what I wonder what the curse is. But really, what we should be thinking about, the question that should be asked is, what's it look like when the father is turned to the children and the children is to the father? And how does that happen? Well, let me tell you this. I think what happens is that the opponents of the gospel want to talk about the restrictions of the life that we live and not the blessings. So what they want to emphasize on is that book that you folks are living by, that book, that so-called book called the Bible, is just going to suck the life out of any joy that you have. You know, and I don't know, I watch sports some, and the world is a hypocrite, okay? Let me tell you that right now. Because they don't want you and I to have any rules to live by, but yet they'll have sports teams with referees running all over the place, blowing a whistle whenever any infraction is made, and they have to pay. Well, it seems like if our sports were supposed to be like life, then the NFL ought to just give everybody a football. Throw them out on the field. Go for it. The end of the day, well, I think my team won. No, I think my team won. Well, okay. Whatever you think. Are we going to pay for that? No. Does that make sense? No. There's a painting that just sold this week called Helter Skelter. I won't talk about the origination of that phrase or anything, but it was a life that was horrible. And that's what we want our world to become. Helter Skelter. And don't you tell me I have to do X or that or Y. I'm going to live my life. Well, the Bible says in John 10:10 that there is two combating ideas. Genesis chapter 3, there was two combating ideas. There was God's way and there was Satan's way, and they weren't both right. And I want you to know this morning, Cornerstone Baptist Church, and I want you to know the United States of America, there is God's way and there is an evil way, and they are not both right. And as Spock would say, live long and prosper. Now, that's not Bible. But would you like to live long and prosper, or would you like to do what you want and die young? Because I'll tell you this, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy in John 10:10. And I'm telling you, living for the world, you will die young. And all you have to do is read the paper or read the news online or wherever you get your information. And over and over and over, I just keep seeing famous people dying young because they lived without laws. They did what they wanted to. Nobody could tell me what to do. And they're gone. On the other hand, if you want to follow the Lord, the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother that thy days may be long on the earth. Now, what's that got to do? Obviously, you know I've been married twice. My first wife died young. She honored her mom and dad. You can say, well, obviously, that verse is not true. There's Lori. She's already gone. She honored her mom and dad. That verse is not correct. No, it's a societal teaching that if people will honor their parents, society as a whole will be much more successful. And when you don't honor your parents, and we don't have to look far to see the results of rebels not honoring those that have authority over them, and they're dying. And not only that, they're not just dying, it's hurting society as a whole. And statistics are out now that for the first time in a long, long time, our longevity of life has gotten shorter than it was. Why is that? I think it might be the curse. So, what do we do? Nothing we can do. It's over. We're just going to have to quit, go home, close the doors, because obviously this isn't working. No, No, what we know, what we believe absolutely works. The deal is it has to be lived. Say that with me. It has to be lived. This book right here, taking it to church on Sunday won't do a thing for you. Opening it through the week will do a lot for you. Applying it to your life will do even more for you. So let me show you some things that the Bible teaches very quickly in the time that we have left. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 through 7. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Now this is just basic stuff, but I think it's things that we need to be reminded of at times. And Deuteronomy chapter 6, in verse number 5 says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God." Say that with me. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God." It didn't say, "And we suggest you try this." When you have a good day and you're really feeling like it, try this. No, Deuteronomy says, "And thou shalt." It's a command. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God." And we continue to read in verse 5. "With all thine heart, with all thy soul, and all thy might." Now very quickly, Ryrie points out that Jesus quoted this verse in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, and he added a word to it. Mark 12:30 says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." And this is the first commandment. The first commandment is obviously in Deuteronomy 6:5. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might." But Jesus also added, "with all thy mind." You know what? How we think matters. What we think about matters. What we are reading through the week matters. What you're watching on TV matters. Whatever you're putting in your mind is affecting your heart and soul and strength. And I found that some things I read either encourage me or seem to sap the strength out of me. Isn't that true? I can be watching something and it can be so stimulatingly wrong. And then when I'm all done in Christ, I feel weaker than I ever have. Why? Because sin separates us from power with God. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy." That's not W-H-O-L-L-Y, as in all of you, but holy, as in H-O-L-Y, holy. "Acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Isn't that interesting? Jesus said, heart, soul, mind, and strength. See, your heart is your emotions. Your soul is who you are. Your mind is what you think. And the strength is what you put into it. How do we become fathers that love children? Here's the deal. For that to take place, father, you have to love your father. And I'm not talking about my dad who's still with me in his 80s. I'm talking about my heavenly father because I am his child. And when I decide that I'm going to love God, now listen to me. Love is a command. We've taught in America that love is an emotion. And when I feel like it, Emily, Scott says to Phil, Emily comes over and we're greeting. I didn't see any of this. Emily says, Scott tried to give Phil a man hug and when we were greeting. I didn't see this. And Emily thought it was just hilarious. And Scott says to Phil, "Come on, Phil, bring it in. Bring it in." You know? Well, Scott knows that Phil's my son. That ain't happening, all right? Phil and I don't hug. It ain't happening. Phil's not hugging Scott. He loved all the fun of that, but the emotion of that says, there's no chance I'm hugging Scott, you know? I so get that. But sad to say is, a lot of times that's how we love. I'm not in the mood. I'm not hugging you. God, you're upsetting me right now. Emily and I were talking about some things. I wish I had more time. But you know what? God does not lack imagination. He can do anything. Say that with me. He can do anything. But times he chooses to do and operate in a way that just honestly, he can handle this. He knows I love him, but it ticks me off. Really, God? You've got so many avenues at your disposal, and this is the road you choose? Has anybody ever thought that? I hope I'm not alone. There's two or three of us. I appreciate your spiritual depth. Okay? But that's how it is. He can operate however he wants to, and sometimes it bothers me. And at times I don't feel like I love him right then. But it doesn't matter. I'm commanded to love him. Dad, you're commanded to love your wife. Well, she doesn't deserve my love. Who are you? Who are you? It's our command to love the Lord. It's our command to love our wives. It's our command to love our families. And I've found to do that, you just need to do it. Nike says, just do it. You know what? They've made hundreds of millions of dollars with that slogan, just do it. Why? And this is what I want to end up with. Proverbs 25, 28. Do we still have that slide, James? Is it a problem to bring that back up? You can go to it in your Bible. Cody quoted it this morning. And this is where I'm going to get to meddling, and you're not going to like me. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. Now, walls are for protection. Walls are to keep things out, to keep things in. A city without walls is open for destruction because it's already been destroyed. So you can say, Stan, how am I supposed to love the Lord? And I say, you're just supposed to do it. You say, well, that's not easy to do. We do it all the time. We all show up for work. Why? Because we're supposed to. If you want to check, you want to get paid, you got to be there. Now, I know we've gotten into a society where we think just showing up is a wonderful thing. And you know what? I think you're supposed to be working while you're there. Yeah. All right? And if you're not, you ought to be fired. Yeah. Oh, that's not loving. That's life. Okay? We all recognize how the economy works. How do you pay your bills? Well, you write a check. How do you write a check? There had better be money there. How do you get the money? You go to work. How do you go to work? You get out of bed. I'm afraid what has become of us as Christians, as Americans, and we're going to talk about this evening as a continuation of what we talked about last Sunday night, but you know what? We've gotten to a point in America we don't do anything that we don't feel like doing. And that's not how life is, and no longer do we talk about discipline, character, doing right because it is right. And I'm telling you, if you want to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, it's the choice of the father that they're going to love God Almighty. And in loving God Almighty, he's going to give you love for your family that you never had before. And when the kids see that dad loves them, they're going to love him back. Because I found that I love what dad loves. I'm a hunter. I'm a gun owner. I know it's going out on the web and everything, and people would go, can't imagine, and guns are getting such a bad name. You know why guns are dangerous? Because they're being held with people with bad hearts. Got nothing to do with a gun. There's all kinds of little memes and things going on about there that are very true, and I'm not going to get sidetracked this morning, but it's the heart of the individual of America that's getting corrupted, not the number of guns on our streets. It's the hearts on our streets that are poison. And it's so frustrating to watch all of that because we only do what we feel like. And what we're feeling in America is more hate, more animosity, more angst against one another. And honestly, hate that is leading to murder because that's how we feel. Well, you know what? Feeling's not cutting it. Discipline is what matters. Doing right is what matters. And we make up our mind that we're no longer going to be a city without walls that can't control our own spirit. And now what are we having to do? We're having to erect walls where there never were walls before because mankind can't control his spirit. And Christian, if you want a godly home, then you're going to have to set an example because your kids are going to love what you love. And if you love the world, they're going to love the world. What's in the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. and the world passes away, and the world dies young. But he that doeth the will of the Lord abideth forever. I've noticed I love the things my dad loves. I love to hunt and fish. I don't do enough of it. I love guns. I collect them. I don't shoot them as much as I should, but everybody should be a good shooter if you've got a good heart. If you don't have a good heart, you shouldn't own a gun. It's that simple. How can we determine that? We can't. That's the problem. Cody's five. His mother comes to me the other day and she says, you know, Cody's got two pair of shoes down on the landing because you have two pair of shoes on the landing. So he purposely took two pair of shoes out of his room and put them down on the landing because Dad has two pair of shoes on the landing. You can't be serious. I'm telling you, folks, that's how closely they watch us. That's how important it is that, Dad, you love God. How does that happen? You just do it. Heavenly Father, I know that doesn't seem to cut it in the intellectual classes, in the counseling, in the psychology. But the sin needs to stop. The love needs to start. The kids need to see Dad loving the Lord and being faithful to Him and loving Mom and the kids. Disciplining when necessary and exhibiting discipline in our own lives. Sometimes that's shutting off the TV and going to bed at night. Sometimes it's making sure the kids understand that Dad goes to bed at night because he's got to get up and go to work in the morning. And it's important that we work hard. And it's all the little lessons in life that we don't even know the kids are learning from our lives. But a life without discipline is a city without walls. And homes are falling apart. God, give us character. And the only way we develop character is by exercising character. Lord, there's so many times in life where I see we are not living by the rules and we don't care. And it's costing us our homes and our families. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would speak to us today. Maybe we need to go home and smash the computer. Maybe we need to go home and cut the cord to the TV. Maybe we don't need to go home and burn some books and magazines that are distracting from our life. Maybe we need to promise God that every day I will be in your word and I'm taking my Bible to church. Not just to church, every day of the week I'm going to be in it. And I'm going to develop character that I don't have. And Lord, I'm sorry for being the wretch that I've been. And I'm going to love you because it's the right thing to do. Lord, help us to do right. Lord, we love you. This message is as much to me as to anybody. It's very convicting to me. Speak to us. Lord, if there are those here that have never said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior, they can't love you. They don't know you. They need to meet you. It starts by confessing their sins, agreeing with you that they've been wrong, and asking to develop a new person, a new creature in Christ, being born again. We do that by saying, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. Pray every person in this room has prayed that prayer in the past, and if they haven't, even now, they'll say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, be my Savior, forgive my sins. Help them to pray that. But Lord, primarily this message was to Christians, and I pray Christians would leave right. Even now, during the invitation, I pray that we would practice a discipline that maybe we've not done before by being obedient as you speak to us. Lord, it's not how I feel. What I know is right. Help me to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.